Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC 291 main event for the BMF title, Dustin Poirier against Justin Gaethje, the second time around. And I don't mind a gimmick belt, I'll be honest. I don't mind the BMF belt. I just want to know who qualifies to fight for it. That's my main concern. I'm going to have a conversation with Veronica this week about it on the Picks podcast. So make sure you check that out and give us your thoughts in the comments. Of course, a very exciting fight, and we're all very much looking forward to this rematch. The first one was absolute fireworks, and I just kind of expect nothing less from these guys, nothing less at all. Before we go any further, this show is brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends. It's been going for over 4 years now, and you know I love this game. I'm on it every day, doing the daily challenges, collecting new champions. There are over 700 champions in this game to collect now, over 15 different factions, including my favourite, which is the Shadowkin. You've got 12 dungeons to conquer, you've got player versus player combat, there's regular content updates all the time, and you can play this on your mobile device as well as your desktop. And the characters, the players are endlessly customizable. New accessories, new upgrades, new artifacts, all different things that you can do to customize these champions and make them your own. And there are over 400 million players in 190 countries worldwide, which is a massive online community to train your champions and test them against. And if you need a new challenge, there's the new dungeon boss, Akumori the Phantom Shogun. I've only beaten level 1 so far. It's very, very difficult to beat, but all the more reason to get the in-game loot and upgrade your champions. And if you're a new player, if you click the QR code or the link below, you'll get a whole bunch of in-game loot that will get you upgraded and ready to take on these new challenges. And if you haven't seen Call of the Arbiter yet, those episodes are available on YouTube. Make sure you check them out. It'll give you a good background to what's going on in the game and the champions that you're going to be winning. It's a really, really good game, and once you get into it, you'll be as addicted as I am. Okay, back to Tale of the Tape. So, Dustin Poirier with a record of 29 wins and 7 losses with 1 no contest. Justin Gaethje, 24-4, so loads of experience for both of these guys. A 2-inch height advantage for Gaethje, a 2-inch reach advantage for Poirier. Much of a muchness, really. I mean, the style of fighting of both of these guys, it really doesn't utilize height and reach advantage unless one of them is particularly going to, you know, be smart about the way they approach it. Now, interestingly, and I don't know whether this is a typo or something, but they've both got an average fight time of 10 minutes and 6 seconds, which seems rather exact to be a coincidence. So around the 10-minute mark is when we're looking at someone getting knocked out in this one. Just an incredible first fight. Straight away they got into it. Gaethje was cut within sort of a minute, 15 seconds. He was wiping his eye. He was like, okay, here we go, get stuck in. And you know, they both did things very well. I feel like Gaethje evolved a lot since that last fight. I feel like, you know, he had a real good run of fights where he was knocking out really good guys, James Vick, Edson Barbosa. For me, Poirier is still now the slightly more technical fighter, but that doesn't mean that Gaethje can't be the one that comes out on top in this rematch. Like, the way that Gaethje fights is throw caution to the wind, live up to his highlight reel nickname, walk himself into range and force people to throw and kind of cover. And I mean, his defense is a bit untidy, but his chin is absolutely solid. And kind of similar to the Korean Zombie in this way. Because he's willing to put himself in a 50-50 trade, because he knows he's got power and he's got a good chin, he puts himself in positions that makes people very uncomfortable, makes them want to strike even if they're not choosing to strike themselves, just to kind of keep him off. Or the other thing, and this is kind of similar with Sean Strickland, because they feel like they can hit him cleanly over and over again, they have this excitement, you know, this willingness to keep throwing punches, hard punches, because they feel like something eventually is going to knock this person out. And I mean, you know, with Gaethje, of course, if you land enough, you can put him away, but it takes a lot of punches. And he forced Poirier to work incredibly hard in those first two rounds, as well as walking himself into range, putting himself in 50-50 trades where he's landing good power shots, and he's also working hard at that lead leg. Like, that was something that Gaethje did really well that I never felt Poirier... I mean, he kind of got on top of it. He was able to, like, steal his leg away out of range a couple of times, or, you know, he looked to counter a few times. But to be honest, Same with counter-punching for Gaethje. Because he puts himself at such close range to, you know, to be able to take shots and counter, he does the same thing with his low kicks. And even if you're, even if you've got someone that's throwing hard inside low kicks and you're looking, you go, okay, well, I'll counter them with a straight punch on this next kick. You're still in a 50-50 trade. You still don't know whether the punch is going to land on the face or on their guard. So it might, yes, knock them off balance, but you're also going to take that kick on the inside leg. And Poirier, even when he was trying to counter, his leg was getting buckled because of the intention of Justin Gaethje. It comes back to this, you know, whenever I talk about fighters that are successful in spite of their technical abilities. Like Gaethje's boxing is untidy. You know, if you watch him on the bag, it's the same. It's untidy. He hits with the insides of his wrists and he's off his feet when he's punching sometimes and he's flat-footed other times. And like there's a lot of ways to critique his style. But much like Wanderlei Silva, Sean Strickland, when they put themselves into a close range and put pressure on their opponents, they're able to land good punches, good counter punches, and have this very kind of suffocating effect on their opponent. It's very claustrophobic. Like, I've sparred with guys like this before, and you're just like you're getting hit with shots that aren't really bothering you, but you're like, oh God, just leave me alone for a minute. And the difference with Gaethje is that he was able to do that, but he's also got power in his hands because he is kind of flat-footed and he does leave himself planted. Like the only time you'll see him lifting up onto his toes really is when he's landing one of those big knockout shots as he's stepping through. So the thing is with when you're fighting Gaethje is you feel like you're going to knock him out sooner than you are and you can exhaust yourself trying up to the point where he now starts to turn the fight in his favour. Now, if you look at the stats for their last fight, I mean, it's wild the amount of punches that were thrown. But you can see a considerable drop-off. Like, Poirier's got good conditioning, right? And one thing I do need to mention, so where was the last fight? Because it was this next one's at... Hang on a minute. Where's my information? So this next fight is in Salt Lake, which is going to bring altitude into it. And Gaethje trains in Colorado, so I kind of feel like that's going to play into his favor. Just a bit of a tangent there. Hang on, where was the last one? Glendale, Arizona. There you go. So you know, you're not looking at... what is the elevation there? It's not particularly high, but Salt Lake is going to accentuate that conditioning. Anyway, bit of a tangent there. Poirier's got good conditioning. Like, he's got great output. You know, he can work hard for rounds and rounds, but when he's put under pressure and he's being forced to throw with power strikes and try and hold somebody off, he does slow down. He will slow down, as does anybody. Like the stats for their last fight. So Poirier landed amazing. He landed 174 strikes out of 351 thrown. So he's landing about 50% of his strikes, just less than 50% of his strikes. Gaethje threw a lot less. He landed 150 and he threw 212, but he was constantly moving himself into range. So the output of Poirier had to be higher just to negate the pressure from Gaethje. This is where Gaethje can, although he has to take some of these shots and he does get damaged sometimes, and there is a drawback to this style of fighting, his work rate in those early rounds is lower than his opponent's, which means that while they're trying to move back and move away and throw with power, he's absorbing and walking down and getting measures and landing the occasional shot, you know, sort of every one shot that they land, you know, sorry, every sort of three or four shots that they land, he's going to land one. But he's going to land one clean shot because he's in close range, because he's pressuring. And they're on the back foot because they've just thrown three or four and nothing's really landed. The inside low kicks is going to be key again for Gaethje, but I also feel like Poirier is going to bring in the low kicks as well. I feel like we saw some adaptation and adjustment. He landed a few good low kicks in their first fight, but I very much feel like that was a lesson that he took away from that fight. That was like, okay, that was a real detriment to me in that first round. It nullified a lot of his offense early on because his lead leg was being taken away. So then I feel like Poirier's kind of worked that into his game a lot more than it was in previous fights. Now, the other thing that's really interesting about this is the path, their journey since the last time they fought. So they've both had 8 fights. They've both won 6 of them. They've both been submitted twice, and they've both been submitted by Khabib and Oliveira. And I know that MMA math doesn't work like this, and I know that that as I explain this, you know, people are going to go, well, you know, that's it's kind of irrelevant. But if I'm a coach or a fighter going into this, I am going to look at these things. I am going to strip it down to these you know, the raw materials. What is evidence on paper? Because you know, a mutual opponent is very interesting. How did Poirier fight one person, and then how did Gaethje fight that same person? And of course, you know, timelines are different, and not every fight is the same going from one fight to the next. Of course, I accept all that. However, some core things stand out, right? So let's just have a look at their paths first. So after Gaethje lost to Poirier, he took out James Vick, beautiful, took out Barbosa, beautiful, both up against the fence. Both one going one way, one going the other. Bang, bang. Doesn't matter which way you're going. He's got power on both sides. So if he traps you up against the fence, you have to very much give Gaethje the respect that he's going to be able to walk you onto something. So Vic and Barbosa are both very impressive. Then he was just too much for Cowboy. Then, of course, the Tony Ferguson fight for me was Cody Garbrandt against Dominic Cruz. It was just like he just found his Goldilocks zone, and he found his rhythm, and he was just on point that night. And he really showed how behind Tony Ferguson was on that night as well. A really strong performance, but showed pace and control and consistency for almost 5 rounds. Really impressive. Then he lost to Khabib, second round triangle. Came back with a UD win over Chandler. Then he got submitted by Oliveira in a really fun back and forth where he landed some power shots, and he's coming off a majority decision win over Fazeev. On the other side, Poirier, so he came off the win over Gaethje, then he went and got a second round TKO over Alvarez, another outstanding performance. Then he beat Holloway by unanimous decision before getting submitted by Khabib, rear naked choke, third round. Second round triangle, third round rear naked choke. Again, not much in it, but one fight was slightly longer than the other. That's the takeaway from that for me. Then a 5-5s against Hooker. Then he beat McGregor twice. Second round, first round, got submitted by Charles Oliveira. Third round, rear naked choke. Oliveira submitted Gaethje in the first round. So again, the staying power of Dustin Poirier has been proven, even though he lost by submission to Khabib and Oliveira. His stay in power in both of them was marginally better than Gaethje's. And then Chandler. He was able to finish Chandler in the third round after a great fight, whereas Gaethje and Chandler went the distance. You know, they're minor things, but for me, every one of those results for Poirier was more favourable than the result for Gaethje. He got submitted quicker, and he beat Chandler by decision. Poirier lasted longer before he got submitted, and he was able to finish Chandler. So again, I know MMA math doesn't calculate like that, but I do very much feel like that is an important takeaway. It reinforces the fact that for me, Poirier is the technically better fighter. I feel like there's more opportunity for Poirier to finish this fight in different ranges of the game than Gaethje. Now, we might see a different version of Gaethje because we've seen him regroup after his losses to Poirier and Alvarez. We saw him kind of, I don't know, it was almost like he didn't go back to the drawing board because he didn't necessarily change a great deal, but his measurement and his calculation was different. This was around the same time he got the eye surgery as well. So, you know, that's something else that we have to take into account. But the essence of his game is still the same. It's still, I'm going to walk into range. When you pressure me, I'm going to double guard. I'm going to cover as much as I can. and I'm just going to kind of take what's coming at me. And I'm going to make sure that when I'm throwing, I'm going to throw harder than you. Like, the good thing about that, like I said earlier, is that it puts him in range to do serious damage. The bad thing is that it puts him in range to take damage. And what Poirier did really well in the last fight, that Gaethje never really was able to adjust to, is that safe pocket that he kept finding for his head, where he was dipping his head down away from the microphone, where he's dipping his head down and going on to shots that are coming up the center line. uppercuts and knees is the kryptonite for Gaethje. And I don't know as he's made the adjustments that is going to make that more difficult for Poirier to land. Like, that would be the key, of course. Like, give Poirier the idea that you're going to keep dipping onto those uppercuts and knees and utilize those opportunities to land your power shots over the top. But that would require Gaethje pumping the brakes a little bit and pulling back on his style. And we have seen that. You know, we saw it against Fazeev. We saw it against Chandler. We saw him be the more technical fighter in moments where he was at a technical deficiency compared to his opponents. But against Poirier, because Poirier is very good at a high-pressure, high-paced fight, and he's really good in a war, keeping his shoulders above his chin, keeping his head tucked, and throwing with everything from both sides, they're the kind of fights that like ignite the fighter in Justin Gaethje and want to make him throw, want to make him brawl. Like, Chandler kept trying to lean into this as well, and I feel like Poirier is able to pretend to brawl when in actuality he stays quite calm and quite clinical on the inside. Like, even when he's up against the fence and he's taking shots, he's got a really nice ability to roll stuff off his shoulders. You know, like, you can tell that Poirier's done a lot of sparring with boxers, and you can tell that he knows where he's comfortable in those pockets to not only keep himself safe, but also to watch the patterns that his opponent's in, so he can then start to look to counter off the back foot. Like, I would like to see more movement from Gaethje. That would require Poirier then to start closing him down. As it was in the last fight, Gaethje was pressuring, and it was Poirier that was being forced to move, being forced to work at a higher rate. But then, because he was working at a higher rate, he was landing more shots, he was doing more damage, and eventually he was able to get through. The one other thing as well that we need to bear in mind is there was a lot of issues last time with eye pokes, because Poirier does work very well slightly outside of Gaethje's range. And what we tended to find was Gaethje was swinging or posting, and there was fingers coming out and catching Poirier in the eyes. That's something else that tells me, and I see this sometimes when people are struggling a little bit with range. Like, there were moments where Gaethje was just a little bit too far away from Poirier, and the habit is to extend your fingers, something that Gaethje's going to really have to be careful of. Now, if I'm... Okay, I don't normally do this, but if I'm working back from a prediction here, because I think the most likely scenario is that Poirier is going to be the technically better striker. He's going to put himself in less risky positions than he did in the last fight, which means his leg won't be as vulnerable, which means he's not going to get caught in the fence up against the fence in the pocket and, you know, dealing with power shots from Gaethje. I also think we're going to see an adaptation from Gaethje where he's going to be inclined to maybe level change a bit more or clinch a bit more, maybe even wrestle a little bit more. But certainly, and this was a criticism that was coming from the commentary booth in their last fight, at no point when Gaethje was taking shots was he thinking about clinching and wrestling. And I think that might be different in this fight. And I think it might lead to a different outcome. Not in Gaethje's favour, though, because this is where Poirier is really, really effective. Once he's got someone hurt with a volume of strikes, they then level change and they go into his neck attacks. He's got good darces and brabos and a variety of different front headlock attacks that will be really useful if Gaethje decides he's going to wrestle defensively. I still think, of course, he's going to choose to strike, but I do think in this situation where he does get hurt and he is rocked, we might actually see him wrestle, and then he may potentially get caught in one of the neck attacks that Poirier's got in his game. Just extrapolating their record a little bit, Poirier's got 29 wins, 14 knockouts and 8 submissions on his record. Gaethje's got 24 wins with 19 knockouts and 1 rear naked choke back in 2012. The kryptonite for Gaethje seems to be putting himself in harm's way and taking too much punishment or getting tangled up in a submission. And I think this fight could be a combination of both of those things in Poirier's favour. I feel like the volume goes in Poirier's direction. I feel like he's slightly more technical, a bit more measured with his striking. But of course, 8 submissions on his record. 4 arm bars, including a triangle arm bar over Max Holloway. two Brabos, rear naked choke, and the body triangle against Pettis. There's a lot for me leaning in the favour of Dustin Poirier for this one. I'm a big fan of both of them, but I expect both of them to be a different level to how they were previously. But I also think that Poirier was already on a slightly different level to Gaethje in their last fight, and I feel like Gaethje's definitely leveled up. But I don't know whether he's leveled up to a point where he's on a level with Poirier, or whether he's still slightly behind him in technical terms. There's a lot of things that Poirier does really nice, and I like Gaethje's step throughs. I like his little bob step through that he does, you know, pinning people up against the fence and forcing them into a choke point. Really, really nice footwork. But overall, I feel Poirier's got a more complete game, a bit more measured. Especially in striking exchanges, you always see him keeping his head tucked. He doesn't quite take as many clean shots to the face. And I do feel like in a fight like this, where these two have got the potential to have an absolute war, those little decisions that Poirier makes that keeps him slightly safer are going to be more beneficial in the long run. Like they were in their last fight, I still feel like that might be prevalent. But I am very, very much looking forward to this fight. You've got a group of guys here that can all just kind of fight every weekend for me. Like, you could go Poirier, Gaethje, Chandler, and just keep them on a round robin and put them on every pay-per-view, and I would watch those fights. I think they're fascinating, and their determination to not only to win, but just to compete is a lot of... They have my respect, let me put it that way. And they'd be a handful regardless of their age or their record. This is going to be a hell of a fight. I am looking forward to it. I think I've already said that. Enjoy the fights, and I'll see you next time.